Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. And what's your best guess as to why Trump is so protective over these documents?
It's no secret that his name has been on flight logs. It's no secret that his name was in the contact list. There is a level of specificity in that contact book about emails and Melania's name being misspelled. I mean, like, you know, it's all in there. So it's not like we don't know. We've seen the pictures galore.
Katie, thank you so much for joining me.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to see you. There's been so much legal news, and I've been waiting to talk to you. And I want to begin first with the Epstein story. Just an hour ago, Donald Trump said that the Epstein case was something that Obama cooked up, that Biden cooked up. But I think people forget that Epstein was arrested in 2019 under his own administration. So talk to me about the lunacy of what's going on right now.
I thought you were going to say the lumacy, as in the Laura Loomer lunacy, but I'm sure we'll get to that in a second, Andrew. I love to talk about this particular topic from the lens of being a lawyer, because that is my, you know, I'm a lawyer by trade, and that's my training and experience over the last 25 plus years. And the reason why I want to look at it that way is, if you have respect for rule of law, if you have respect for justice, then it doesn't make a difference if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You should also be echoing the calls for the release in the interest of total transparency of these Epstein files. For Trump to add another additional layer of conspiracy theory does not make any legal sense, and it also doesn't make any common sense. If you go back and you look at the indictment and the last version, the superseding indictment for Ghislaine Maxwell, Andrew, you will see that at least a couple of the counts for which she went to trial and for which she was convicted and is now doing federal prison time involved her conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein and, quote, others. So there clearly were other people that were involved in the criminal conduct for which her and Jeffrey Epstein were arrested. And this idea that the American public, including MAGA, which debatedly has maybe some, you know, flirtations with intelligence sometimes. But the fact that they think that MAGA is also going to be snowed by the idea that this was some crazy concocted Democratic thing, or that it's just going to go away because Trump tells people, including AG Pam Bondi, that it has to go away, I think is a real insult. I think people are tired of hearing about it, but because they've heard about it for so long, they want to put a pin in it and be done with it. And in order to do that, they need to have the files released.
So Republicans are in control in Congress. Could they start an investigation? Could they call upon Ghislaine Maxwell to testify? Isn't it within their own power to start investigating if they wanted to?
100%. And Andrew, keep in mind, as we know, the Republicans have done stuff like done congressional investigations into the mental acuity of Joe Biden by calling in his treating physician. I mean, they have not only the capacity, but no failure of imagination when it comes to Republicans wasting time. But in this instance, we saw Democratic Representative Ro Khanna try to introduce an amendment just late yesterday, and House Republicans shot it down.
It's so interesting. I mean, like, this is a split with the MAGA base, but it'll be interesting to see who Republican Congress men and women end up siding with, right? The voters or the president.
And the voters have made it clear. If you look at the chats, you look at the Reddits, if you look at everything else, they, as in most of American MAGA, wants to have some idea of the details. And I think the fact that Trump now has openly kind of come down on the side of Pamela Jo, which is what I call her, Pamela Jo Bondi, and now Dan Bongino hasn't bothered to show up to the job that we as taxpayers have been paying for since last week, I think the fissure's not going to go away. This chasm is pretty damn big. And then you have people like Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and others, Charlie Kirk, although now he's kind of saying, well, I heard from Donald Trump, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But you know, MAGA is not only just the voters in that base, but it's kind of the influencers that took a lot of time this weekend at Turning Point to talk about how important it is to disclose it. And in my mind, this type of MAGA meltdown civil war is actually incredibly noteworthy, but at the same time, so typical that this is what it takes for them to actually maybe have a come to Jesus moment.
It's typical, but also remarkable, as you said, because this Turning Point conference, I think, was probably the first time in Trump's 10 years as a professional politician that you really saw party elders and influential voices in the party, besides the beginning of his campaign, really split with him. I mean, it was remarkable the way that Republicans talk about Trump and the power that he has over the party to see Tucker Carlson and others begin to split over this issue.
Yeah, and we started this conversation talking about somebody like Laura Loomer as well. For Laura Loomer to be calling for a special counsel to be appointed to be able to investigate this is a big red flag for Donald Trump. As we know, Laura Loomer has direct pipeline to be the bee in the ear of Donald Trump, maybe not the one that allegedly got so hurt from that assassination attempt for which we have no information. I mean, you know, Andrew, that's my point, right? Like, we don't have any information further about what happened for that assassination attempt a year ago. And now we don't have any more information about Epstein. But if you go back and you look at all of these people, Bongino, Bondi, Kash Patel, Donald Trump, etc., they are all on record for years stating that the Democrats are the people that are gatekeeping this from the American public and it must be released. And now when Republicans have care, custody, control, and total possession over this information, they're not doing it. So it's the butterfly effect. It's the Barbara Streisand effect. It's if you don't want to talk about it, you shouldn't talk about it. But then because you don't talk about it, everybody talks about it. And that's what we're doing.
And the political consequences could be severe. Steve Bannon said that Republicans could lose up to 40 House seats over this. What can Democrats do to capitalize on this?
Do what Ro Khanna and others are doing, which is, you know, chew and walk gum at this, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Like, still pay attention to the big bullshit bills, negative impacts on Americans, you know, highlight the immigration consequences of $160 billion now being earmarked for enforcement, etc. We can still do that as Democrats, but this is something that really we need to keep on advancing in the public discourse. It is one of the most acute Achilles heels that Trump has right now. I don't necessarily share Bannon's, I think, bloviating about that number of seats that are up, Andrew, but I will say that for years we've heard that the Democrats are the, you know, the lewd and perverse, you know, party of pedophiles, right? I mean, that's the disgusting rhetoric that we've heard. And yet right now, Donald Trump is the person who is standing in the way. Because all he has to do is tell Pam Bondi to release everything, redacted for privacy, to protect victims and other people that are vulnerable. But he's literally the one person standing in the way between the release of this information. And the crazy thing is, if there's nothing there, if nothing is new, then what is the harm in releasing it? Because there's still confidentiality and privacy that still applies through the grand jury proceedings. We've been looking to see if those got released because, Andrew, there's been grand jury impaneled groups that have looked at the evidence. There's been civil litigation. There's been criminal cases, federal and state. I mean, remember, this all started with a case down in Florida as a state court case. So this has been around for years. So there's a breadth of information, some of which is new, maybe not damning and maybe not so, you know, smoking gun, but right as rain should be made available because Americans deserve to have total transparency on everything. And with that information, do what you may. But I do think that if you're going to sit there and say that Democrats have been stonewalling the release of this information, then you are going to have to eat your own humble pie if you're the Republicans, and you're going to have to force this open.
And what's your best guess as to why Trump is so protective over these documents?
I don't know, because it's no secret that his name has been on flight logs. It's no secret that his name was in the contact list. There is a level of specificity in that contact book about emails and Melania's name being misspelled. I mean, like, you know, it's all in there. So it's not like we don't know. We've seen the pictures galore. Listen, Jeffrey Epstein, he wasn't party specific in the way that he spent time. There are Democrats that are implicated, you know, in the world of Jeffrey Epstein, maybe not in the criminal conduct, but definitely in the business sphere. And that applies to Democrats and Republicans. Let me be very clear. I don't know why Trump is so adverse other than he fears that that just that the link to Epstein is a lot more than we know. And again, may not rise to criminal co-conspiracy, may not rise to criminal conduct, but is so much deeper and more complex and just more detailed than what we know. And he's trying to make sure it doesn't come out. But it's so dumb because Americans, or MAGA more specifically, have forgiven some pretty despicable behavior by him and Republicans so far. But I'm glad to hear, I guess, that Republicans draw the line in the sand of despicable behavior when it comes to child sex trafficking.
So much so that Dan Bongino decided to sit out a few days from work. The way that the media is talking about it, it's almost as if he sat home from like a job at a convenience store or just a good old-fashioned job. He is an official whose salary is paid for by taxpayers. And for him not to show up, he's managing the day-to-day of the FBI. It's pathetic, no?
Yeah, that's one adjective to use, I would say. It's outrageous. I got into a fight with my sister at work, and so now I'm not going to go to work. I mean, who gets that luxury? As people are staring down the barrel of no Medicaid, no SNAP benefits, their health insurance being cut off, you know, all of this. And now Bongino, his feelings are hurt, and so he doesn't want to come to work. That signifies to me, Andrew, that what is kind of inside all of this is a lot bigger. Because remember, you have Bondi, Bongino, Patel, and now Todd Blanche, all of whom have said that they have looked at the entirety of this information and that begrudgingly, you know, Patel and Bongino are kind of like, yeah, I guess we'll go with the party line a little bit, even though we don't agree. But now you have people that say that they've all looked at this and that they're not going to release it. It's amazing because if you go back and you look at the original media reporting on this, Andrew, it says that they've looked at the Epstein video, which in and of itself suggests some type of manipulation. They've looked at the Epstein video. It doesn't raise new questions about how he died. And I'll put an asterisk as to how he died. But it also doesn't say like, oh, there's no new information, and so it would be duplicative to release it. They don't say that, Andrew. They're just like, we've looked at it and we've decided we're just not going to release it.
And that there's no client list, right? That was what they said. But a client list, what does that even mean? It could mean any number of things. And so it's very unclear what's inside of those documents.
Just because there's no piece of paper. It's funny because I actually do have something, Jeffrey Epstein. Just because it doesn't have like client list and underlined. I mean, just his contact book has been out. Not all of it, by the way. Some of which was redacted. I mean, my understanding is there is a lot of evidence here, much of which we shouldn't see, because a lot of it does involve minors. And again, I don't need to see that, right? That's not what I'm talking about. But if you've had a fulsome prosecution by the Department of Justice of more than one person, then the evidence cannot just be what we've read in a deposition testimony from a civil case that maybe Dershowitz was on, right? There's got to be more to it. And there is more to it. And we're just now sitting here waiting for somebody to release it. But again, it's like one of those things we just keep on poking at them about it, because I feel like it just makes them upset. And I'm all for that.
And it reveals more and more how much of a lame duck president Donald Trump is, where we see the party begin to move on from a Trump. MAGA still exists, but it's a MAGA that would exist without Donald Trump.
Yeah, and listen, he's still taking advantage of the grift, and he and his family are still, you know, making money hand over fist right now. But we all know that the distractions are devastating, but very obvious, right? So the tariff announcements, you know, in line with what was going on with the Epstein stuff, right? Some of the immigration stuff, also in line with the Epstein stuff. I mean, he's trying desperately to change
MacArthur,
the discourse.
The MacArthur Park raids, is that what you're talking about?
In LA, exactly. And Alligator Alcatraz, right? I mean, all of this stuff is an attempt to deflect from us paying attention to this stuff. And I don't think Epstein should be the end-all be-all of our conversations these days, but I certainly don't have a problem breathing oxygen into it and reminding people the hypocrisy on the other side about how critical it was to get this information. And again, now that they have the information, they're withholding it from the American people.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you saw those scenes in MacArthur Park, which obviously was a famous song, which I always smile when I say it. When you saw those scenes at MacArthur Park, did you think that, you know, it almost looked like a third world country? This did not look like an America that we recognized, right?
No, and it was clearly just a show of force. There were no arrests made, and that's according to Department of Homeland Security and ICE, to pick a park where kids are in summer camp, but more importantly, to pick a park that is known as being a center place for the gathering of immigrants, obviously was sending a message. That type of, you know, just theater would be laughable, but for the fact that it has such devastating and very real consequences. And so it's really hard to watch that happen and to watch what we see day in and day out now of the ICE raids on that marijuana farm, that cannabis farm in California, where now we know an immigrant died when he fell 30 feet from fleeing DHS. You're creating this culture of fear. And this was just a show of force to be able to underscore to say, look, in the middle of the day, when people are otherwise doing their own thing and minding their own business, we're going to come through with Humvees and armed federal agents and armed National Guardsmen. I haven't seen the propaganda yet, though. I mean, that in and of itself is propaganda, but you know they're cutting videos for their official DHS accounts. I mean, Andrew, just last week, they were posting on X, on the DHS account, the pictures of the alligators wearing like the ice caps and stuff for alligator Alcatraz. And Benny Johnson's running around screaming about how there's merch for alligator Alcatraz. I'm waiting for the propaganda video that was cut from that MacArthur Park show of force.
Yeah, Dr. Phil wasn't with them, so it might be some time before we see it.
Or Christy Nolan wasn't there, so it might be some time before we see it.
Exactly. Switching gears, I want to go to a Supreme Court case that made some news this week. This is the Linda McMahon case involving the Department of Education. It looks like the Supreme Court just allowed Linda McMahon to fire a whole bunch of employees at the Department of Education. So why is this such a big deal? What about this case makes it matter beyond the Department of Education?
So I just did a really deep dive on this on my YouTube channel. I just did a video because it's yet another emergency application by the Trump administration where, Andrew, instead of waiting until the case makes its way to the Supreme Court, wherein the court has to give it permission to be able to even hear the case, they took the case on an emergency basis for their shadow docket. And this has become kind of the brand for the Trump administration, Trump 2.0. This regime specifically enjoys seeking emergency applications. So not only did a district court issue a preliminary injunction nationwide that protected this reduction in force of more than 1,400 people from their jobs, but it also stopped Trump from being able to move things like student loans to another agency, et cetera. Because this judge made a credibility determination that the intentions by the government was to basically dismantle the Department of Education, even though they were saying in their arguments and their filings, oh, no, we're just streamlining the bloat. We're curtailing the bloat. We're cutting the bloat. But a judge said, you know what? I call bullshit. And that's why I'm going to tell you to restore the jobs of these people and protect them while this case winds its way through the system. But instead of allowing this trial court judge who's best situated to make these decisions, an appeals court that said, we're not going to overturn this preliminary injunction while the appeal is pending, the Supreme Court decided that it knew better. And I find that level of arrogance to be completely on brand for the ultra-conservative six that's on SCOTUS right now. They think that they can supplant the discretion, the authority, the kind of wisdom and the collective kind of intelligence of lower courts right now. So what we're seeing is a battle royale between the trial courts, the federal district court judges, and the Supreme Court. Because if you'll notice, a lot of those nationwide injunctions, a lot of those preliminary injunctions, a lot of the things that are protecting the American people from Trump executive orders and Trump draconian policies, they're stopping that, they being the district court judges, and the Supreme Court is sitting there and just with a flip of a pen, they're reversing all of this. But what's particularly upsetting about this Department of Education opinion, it gave no explanation. And that underscores the arrogance, Andrew. If you're going to do something like this, which is going to materially affect not only the people working at the Department of Education, but millions of Americans at large that are going to be impacted by their programs being affected by this, wouldn't you have the decency to explain why? But they don't. And that sucks about this Supreme Court.
And so I thought the Supreme Court term ended in late June. So explain to the audience what a shadow docket is and how it's usually used, I believe, for cases like a death penalty case or cases like that. Not so much for cases involving a president, right?
So I told my viewers that, and I'll tell all of y'all tuning in right now too, it's so worth it to go and read the Sonia Sotomayor dissent in this McMahon case. It's 19 pages, sounds daunting, but she writes in such a way that anybody who doesn't have a law degree can understand. And what she says is she explains that the shadow docket was never supposed to be used, A, with this level of frequency, and B, for these types of cases. She says, especially in an instance where a case has already had a test at the trial court and then went and got tested at the appeals court, and now you have two different levels of the judicial system saying that Trump got it wrong. She's like, these are extraordinary things. This is an extraordinary remedy. So we shouldn't be doing this as often as we are. And the shadow docket is one wherein normally you would get a ruling at a trial court. It would go to an appeal. Then after the appellate decision, whoever loses would then ask the Supreme Court, Mother, may I? Will you take this case or not? And the Supreme Court, in its discretion, would say, we will, we won't. Whatever they take becomes the normal audit of cases for a particular term. So when you hear October term, when you hear June term, whatever, that's explaining what that term is. And there are a number of cases that Supreme Court does take. The shadow docket is particularly nefarious because, again, these decisions are rendered in the dead of night sometimes where they're issued with no explanation. And these shadow docket cases are outrageous because they leapfrog other cases, and they also leapfrog the normal course of the progression of a case. So instead of waiting until the entirety of the case has been argued, briefed, and decided on appeal, the Supreme Court says, we're just going to kind of bypass all of that shit, and we're just going to go straight to the finish line on this, because to hell with the idea of you people keeping your jobs while this is pending. To hell with the idea that we're not going to, you know, move these agencies, we're going to move specific programs to different agencies where you and I both know, Andrew, DOGE is not done, right? Just because Elon Musk
left DC, but there's more firing to be done.
Exactly. And so when you look at a Supreme Court that thinks it's okay to now rule by way of shadow docket, we have a problem, especially when it's stacked the way it is with that ultra-conservative six.
But is the court ruling on the legality of the firings, or they're just allowing the firings to happen?
So I love the nuance, and thank you for bringing it up. The court is not ruling on the substance, but in the absence of more of an explanation, I can't even tell you what's going on, Andrew. Literally, if you look at the decision, the actual majority opinion, and you'll see, is only this portion. This is it. The rest of this is the dissent by Sotomayor, but it just says that preliminary injunction is stayed, that preliminary injunction by the federal judge in this case that was protecting all of these American workers. They're saying, you know what? We're going to actually put that on the back burner. We're going to put that on ice right now while we wait for the decision to be rendered by the appeal. So just like you and I just walked through the normal course, the Supreme Court says, we're going to wait and see what happens with the First Circuit Court of Appeals and whether or not we agree to take it. But the damage is already going to be done. And that is the reason why a lot of these injunctions are entered on a preliminary basis to protect the status quo. Because once you let the genie out of the bottle, it's impossible to shove it back in. And that's what the people are saying. They're saying people are losing their jobs. Students are being damaged. Parents are being damaged. There's all these people that are being hurt by this decision. And really, Sotomayor calls out the truth. She says, it's a lie to say that you're trying to save money and you're cutting bloat. The reality is you're just teeing up this department to be dismantled. And she cites two stupid public statements made by McMahon and by Trump. And that is the record that is the entirety of the evidence. The teachers and the employees, Andrew, they're the ones that came to the court with evidence in hand. The government had none. So even on its face, the Supreme Court shouldn't even have considered this, but it did. And it just gives another win for Trump. And that just kind of rubs all of us that are true devotees to the rule of law the wrong way.
Does this decision open the door for other agencies to continue with their layoffs?
Yeah, and we've seen that happening. So this is a specific thing vis-a-vis the Department of Education, but we've seen it happen even last week where the mass firings were allowed to proceed pursuant to the Supreme Court. These decisions, you know, some of which are decided on technicalities when we have the benefit of an explanation. Some of them we don't get the benefit of an explanation, but the real life consequences are inescapable. And even though a lot of the big bullshit bill impacts are not going to be felt until after the midterms in 2026, the more that we amplify how much Americans are damaged by it, I think the better the Democrats are going to be when we get into the ramp up into the midterms. But there's a lot of people, Andrew, that are going to be left with no jobs and zero ability to be able to score any type of benefits that will be able to help them and their families. And I think the other thing is people are actually getting an education, no pun intended, on what the Department of Education does.
Right.
And other agencies. I think we've been a little complacent as Americans. We haven't really kind of done our homework when it comes to these agencies. And now we're realizing exactly how much they have done for us. And now that Trump is dismantling them and getting rid of them. What's another example? FEMA, NOAA, the National Weather Service. That's all we were talking about with the Texas floods, right? I'm in the middle of hurricane season in Florida. I mean, this is the stuff that we think about. And the more that we dismantle those federal agencies, the more we feel it. But then what did we hear after the Texas tragedy? Oh, well, Trump and Kristi Noem are backpedaling now on the NOAA dismantling. Well, thank you for no small favors.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to switch gears to another Supreme Court case. Can you talk to me about the birthright citizenship case and why a class action lawsuit seems to be the way that those affected by the case are able to prevail so far?
So I'm particularly proud because part of what I do too is I work as the senior advisor for strategy for the Democracy Defenders Fund. The State Democracy Defenders is one of the legal groups that was representing the plaintiffs that went and pursued a class action certification in federal court in New Hampshire. So after the Supreme Court came down with this decision at the end of June, stating that this nationwide injunction idea is kind of out the door now, except in very limited circumstances, but suggested that class actions might be the vehicle by which we could see some type of protection nationwide under this birthright citizenship attack. A whole bunch of plaintiffs repped by the ACLU, LULAC, Democracy Defenders, and others went to court and said, look,
within hours.
Literally within hours, an amended a complaint was filed and said, look, we need to get protections. I mean, truth be told, we sought protections for a bigger group than what ended up getting the judge ended up giving. But the judge in the end said, you know what? I'm creating a class on a provisional basis of the babies, of the children that were born after a specific date or as of a specific date, right? And he actually also identified the people that were going to be targets under Trump's executive order trying to overturn birthright citizenship. And then the judge said, I'm entering a nationwide injunction protecting people that would fall within this class. And that pretty much involves everybody. Because as well, Andrew, after that Supreme Court decision on nationwide injunctions, you had a group of state attorneys general that represent a lot of states that are sitting there seeking their own nationwide injunctions as well. And they are pretty much guaranteed to get it, I think. And so at this point, Trump's attempts to overturn birthright citizenship has yet to be decided substantively by the Supreme Court, but right now is pretty much not going to have any effect because of this class certification move. And I love that you bring up this case, Andrew, because it dovetails completely with what you and I are talking about in terms of the Department of Education. At least there was a majority opinion that had some meat on the bone that was drafted by Amy Coney Barrett and signed off by the majority. Maybe we didn't agree with it, but at least there was something there that created some measure of a roadmap or a pathway that could be pursued. So the class action idea was argued during oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court. So that gave a lot of people, including us, the idea of getting a class action ready to go in the event we got an adverse ruling from the Supreme Court. This is litigation. This is strategy in litigation. But what you're finding, though, is the Supreme Court is taking these things on an emergency basis. And there is a world of confusion that is being generated by this, because a lot of people thought that birthright citizenship was going to be either overturned or upheld. But the Supreme Court so far hasn't even touched the substantive issue. The Supreme Court's like, we're only dealing with this issue of nationwide injunctions. And so there's all of this mess that's being created by the Supreme Court by granting all these emergency applications to be heard, because it just kind of causes more confusion in the American public.
If Democrats win the presidency in 2028, how should they use executive orders? Because it seems like the court thus far has really deferred to the executive branch. Do you think Democrats could come up with orders like taking away assault weapons and things like that and actually could prevail?
Well, you are picking up on what we've all seen, which is Trump is ruling by way of executive order. But here's the thing, an executive order isn't a law. So, yeah, there is this huge like assertion by Trump in terms of the executive branch's authority. But as Sonia Sotomayor points out in her dissent here in the Department of Education case, what Congress giveth, Congress must taketh away. Congress is the one that passes the laws. Donald Trump can't supersede or go beyond Congress to be able to do what he's doing now, which is why Sonia Sotomayor wanted to remind her colleagues on the bench, hey, there's something called the separation of powers. You might want to read up on your basic civics again. Executive orders aren't laws. Policies that are promulgated and done by the federal agencies because they are kowtowing to their dear leader because he issued an executive order, yeah, that can end up being challenged in court. But the laws are only created by Congress. So if you get a Democratic majority in Congress, what you need to be doing is passing laws like it's nobody's fucking business. Pardon my French. And we need to take a page out of the Republican playbook, Andrew, and we need to do the shock and awe of just reversing all the insanity that Trump did, but also doing the most that we can do, including trying to ram through reforms of the United States Supreme Court. It's way past time to have that. And it's not easy to do, but it's definitely a priority, I think, for this next Democratic administration.
Has the court always had this much sway? It's, you know, over American culture. Obviously, there have been, you know, centuries of big, important decisions from the court, but it really feels like they're shaping American life more than ever because of how many cases involving the presidency are in front of the court. Yeah. Is there precedent for, I mean, is it normal to have hundreds of cases against Trump, against the president?
There were a lot of Trump against Trump administration cases and Trump 1.0. I think objectively, the Supreme Court obviously has always had a lot of sway because it is the court of last resort, right? It's the last place you can ever go in our judicial system in the United States, because their word is God. Their word is the final word on something when it comes to legality of something. I do think because Trump decided that the Project 2025 launch had to be done in an incredibly aggressive way. I mean, I'm not kidding. What are we, July 15th, Andrew? This is how many days from January when he started? Like, it's not even a full year, and look where we are. And that is in large part because Trump decided that this is the strategy he was going to take. The disservice that the Supreme Court is doing is multifold. One, don't take all these emergency applications. Give a little bit of credit to the district court judges that are doing the work, and maybe they're getting it wrong, maybe they're getting it right, but that's, they shouldn't be taking all these emergency applications. And two, don't rubber stamp things, because it's not so much that the Supreme Court is influencing things, Andrew. It's actually they're just acquiescing to things that Donald Trump is doing. And I want to remind not only Congress, but the judiciary, they're a co-equal branch of government. So they can also assert their lifetime appointment power to be a backstop to the slide of democracy into autocracy. And I don't see them doing it as much at the SCOTUS level. I see the fight coming from our district court judges.
I could talk to you all day. Katie Fang, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find you, listen to you, watch you, read you? Tell us.
I appreciate that ask. So I am on YouTube at Katie Fang News. It's the Katie Fang News channel. And I am also on Substack at Katie Fang and all other social media platforms.
Awesome. Katie, thank you again.
Thanks, Andrew. I loved it.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.